You got time to leave the office? Muriel had grabbed her own phone after hours. Not even bothering with a name or hello, Larry sounded cozy and familiar. She'd been waiting days for his call. Do we have a problem? She said. Can of worms? No, said Larry. Snakes. Rattlesnakes. Cottonmouth. They had a problem. A half an hour later, Muriel pushed through the old oak door at Ike's. Larry was back at the bar. What's up? She asked. He told her, slowly, piece by piece. She got right next to him when he'd finished, so she didn't shout. You're telling me Erno Erdai shot his own nephew? I'm saying it's possible. Let's get out of here, Muriel told him. This wasn't the place for a discussion. Outside, she offered Larry a ride up the hill. He gave her directions as they drove. So, okay, she said, explain. I don't think it makes any difference. That's step two, said Muriel. We have to know what the hell was happening first. Am I reading this right? If my mother wants to reconcile with her sister, she ought to try shooting her in the back? Larry laughed for the first time tonight. 3,000 comedians, unemployed, and you're making jokes. Seriously, she said, isn't that the sequence? Erno and Collins got all lovey-dovey after that? Fuck, said Larry, I don't have a clue. And I don't care. Erno's family is as messed up as the next guy's. So what? It's TMI as far as I'm concerned. Too much information. An acronym for the times, if ever there was one. Larry was pointing up a long driveway. The house was a Victorian, which he had once described as his specialty. Jeez, Louise, Larry, what a beauty. Isn't it? This one especially. Sometimes I'm walking around inside and it bothers me. I couldn't afford anything like it for myself when the boys were young. But that's the story, right? You never get what you want when you need it. He seemed to hear himself only after he'd spoken. She could see him tense up and avoid looking her way. To save him, she asked for a quick tour. They ended up in an add-on family room at the back of the house. Larry, it's time to throw all this stuff about Erno and Collins on the table. I'm going to write Arthur a letter tomorrow. He asked what she knew he would. Why? Because they're clearly desperate to find Pharaoh, and it's a capital case, and I shouldn't hide stuff when I know it's material to them. Material? Larry, I'm clueless about exactly what all this means, and so are you. But bottom line, Collins was stealing tickets with Louisa, right? Don't you think that has something to do with why he knew enough to dime out Gandalf? Muriel, sure as you're standing there, Arthur will be in court trying to open up everything again. You know that. He'll be screaming about giving Collins immunity. That's his job, Larry. We don't even know 100% that Collins is Pharaoh, he said. Let me get back to Dickerman, see if he gets a fingerprint off the gun. Then maybe we'll know it's Collins for sure. Call Dickerman. Tell him we need fast answers. But I can't wait to tell Arthur. The longer we hesitate, the louder he'll moan about me withholding favorable evidence. Christ, Muriel, how many times do we have to win this fucking case? Sometimes I want to go down to Rudyard and shoot Rami myself just to put an end to all of this crap. Maybe that's our fault. Maybe something's keeping us from putting an end to it. She, of course, knew what something was, and so did he. Stepping closer, she lifted her hand to his shoulder. Larry, trust me on this. It'll come out okay. Averted from her, Larry was taut in frustration. Really, Larry, she said, if you didn't want to do anything about this, why go down to Ike's? Why bother calling me? He cast his gaze down, but finally reached up and clapped the back of her hand as a mode of assent. Even contact so brief swept her into the tide between them. She peered up at him with a brimming look, one that recognized damage and time. Much as she'd promised herself not to be the first across the boundary line, she knew she wasn't going to stop. It didn't matter if it was Auld Lang Syne or Stardust or Libido. She wanted Larry. Whatever bell he'd sounded had never been rung by anyone else. The thought that he could resist passed through Larry's mind as nothing more than an abstraction. The essence of Muriel was having her way, and as always, she had the jump on him. Why call her, she'd asked, if he wanted her to do nothing. He'd brought her here, and now she was making it as easy as possible. Little and fearless, she rose to her toes and placed one hand on his shoulder, bringing the other tenderly to his cheek, drawing him near. After that, it had the desperation and speed of a caged bird hoping to fly, all that useless beating of wings, the smashing about. In the heat, there was a salty taste to her flesh. His heart pounded along in frightened spurts, and it was, as a result, far briefer than he might have liked. She had ended up on top and clung to him afterwards as though he were a rock. The feeling of her resting there was far more satisfying than anything else. He searched her form with both hands and felt a desperate pang at how near it had remained in memory. "Are you sorry about this?" she asked him. "I don't know yet. I may be." "Don't be. You're tougher than I am, Muriel." "Not anymore." "Yes, you are. At least you know how to keep moving forward. When it comes to you, Muriel, I guess I can't. Larry, don't you think I've missed you? Consciously? Come on, Larry." "I mean it. You don't let yourself look back and see stuff. It's only hitting you now." "What's that?" "You should have married me." "You were married, Larry. You are. And just a cop," he answered. He'd never had the gumption to swing this hard at her, not at close quarters, and she never would have taken it. He could feel her laboring to come to the new day. "And just a cop," she said finally. He could not really see her, but merely with his hand on her skin, he could feel the pulse of emotion. She felt fragile, narrow, and small, briefly returned to the truth of nature, and Larry, large as he was, surrounded her. Lying on the pale rug, he rocked her for quite some time, as if they were aboard a ship tossed back and forth on the swells of the terrible sea of life.